Thank you for joining us with In Business Shelby County. We are here for season 3, recording at Echo Effect Art Campus, located at 102 East Washington Street. And you guessed it, of course, in Shelbyville, Indiana. Echo Effect is your place for events, trainings, podcasting, and your version. If you know, you know. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome. I am Christy Brandt, your host, and this is In Business Shelby County. I am over the moon to not introduce you to the man, the myth, or the legend, but instead welcome the educator, the editor, and engagement extraordinaire, Christian Rawlings.
Thank you. Wow. Longtime listener, first time speaker. So thank you.
Yes.
Love being here.
Well, I mean, you're into everything and helping us connect our past with our present, with our every, you know, nostalgia to the future, really. Just tell us about yourself, how you got started. We know you're a teacher, Addison Times. How do you do it all?
I'll go way back. I was a newspaper kid. We didn't have television in my house. We didn't have a VCR. So, you know, newspapers were the media. And we had a radio, so I'd listen to sports. And one of my favorite, I'll digress, but one of my favorite things now is when I'm going through a neighborhood and I hear, usually it's an older man with the Cincinnati Reds on or the Colts on, and he's working in his garage. It's like, wow, that goes back, because I just listened to all those games, did not watch them. And then, you know, fell in love with particular styles of writing. Bill Benner was the Indianapolis Star sports writer at the time. There were several others. And as I got older, Jimmy Breslin's a New York Times journalist that I just loved and tried to emulate. And so that really just, you know, reading newspapers. I remember in seventh grade we had a political cartoons, which I'm a terrible artist. So Mrs. Chester was never impressed with my art. But the jokes would be things that were going on in the news, like it could be, you know, politicians' affairs or something. And she was, I remember her saying, this isn't the usual material I get from seventh graders, but those are just things that just became part of daily spreading out the newspaper on the floor at our house and reading the Star, reading the Shelbyville News. It's amazing to me, you know, my dad is a avid car wash guy, like every other day.
Wash.
And you had to wash the windows with newsprint. That was, you know, paper towel did not cut it.
Oh.
And it was the Indianapolis Star. He said that was the best. He had zero data on that, but it always was funny because you couldn't get caught washing your windows with a non-Indianapolis Star newsprint. He would call you out on it and say, it's going to streak. So
That is a great tip. I have never heard that before.
You try it, see if it works.
Well, you know, or maybe calling NPR. What is it? They're wait, don't tell me. Fact check him.
Yes. Car talk would have been a good one.
Oh, is that what it is?
Used to.
Okay, yes. I remember because they will talk about old phrases and things, and they give you the history on it.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So, burning question for you is like, how do you get it all done? But I kind of figured that out. You must have been beta testing ChatGPT.
No.
Were you part of that?
No.
So how in the whole world have you been getting the paper out, the news out to us almost every single day for how long? Like, how long have you been doing this?
So this started 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I'll back up to that before it kind of bridge that gap. Moved back to this area at the end of 2014 and noticed that the industry had totally changed, of course.
Mm.
And part of the challenge was... as subscribers fell, the rates fell, companies were buying each other out and treating it basically like a hedge fund.
You know, you
sell off the printing press, sell off the building, and then just collect 20, 30% profit while you know you're going to have loyal subscribers. But that's a good business model, and it's worked, but it's not good for community news. And I know it's a nationwide challenge. And so I immediately thought, well, we really need some more local connection. And so I called Bill Moore, who owned Lenny's at the time. I'd worked there as a teenager. And said, can I just come in kind of write a little story about your process in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating, you know, as the whole production sheet. And there were like 7,000 hits on that over a weekend.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, well, there's something here. Now that, it just, I think because it was so different, probably went a little more viral than most things, locally viral. But that was where the idea came from. I asked Chris Meltzer, who had written a view for My Schwinn. He had stopped doing that, a weekly column, Shelbyville News, that would you come back? So he started that up through a little newsletter collaboration we did with the library called Wildberry. But of course, I thought, well, there has to be a way to actually make a living doing this. And so there wasn't, but I thought there might be. So
still
that's right. Started the print edition. That ran for a year and a half. So Chris wrote for that. Dee Bonner was a big help, developed an ad system that made it much easier than selling by the column inch. We just sold, by the like eighth page, quarter page, et cetera. But it was still challenging. You know, we had to come up with $5,000 to $7,000 a week. Mm. And we made that on paper, but actually collecting that money was a big challenge. I can circle back to that later, but the paper, newspaper went out, and at that point then moved to digital. Actually, I'll tell that story if you want.
Sure.
Maybe it kind of connects here. The basic finances of all that, as I recall, and I'm looking back, 8.5 years, was something like, the printer would bill me monthly for about $20,000.
Wow.
So I ran out of money. And I should have been saving the escrow money, but it was costing $5,000 to $7,000 a week to pull that off. And so it was just kept running. And on paper, I'm like, this is going to work if I can just get the numbers to work.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you still have to have the money in the bank.
Yeah.
And so when I stopped that, I started the digital because people in the community were owed money back on that second edition of what I'd started. And so I said, look, I'll work for free for 2 years. So if you'll write off the debt, which was like a double of the value of what was owed. Most people were owed like $53 and a cent. There was 227 people on that list. Hmm. So I contacted them all. So I did start the Addison Times, did 2 years of that. But I had to put a price to it because otherwise there would have been no value.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone else who wanted to jump on, fine. Did that, and then we just kind of kept rolling from there, paid off the debt, the cash debt from the original business, and now we're at a point where really what I always wanted to do was have it be a nonprofit. And so that's where we are now, kind of on the precipice of that. To circle back to your question, though, quickly, how I do this is I get up about 4:30 in the morning, and then I do a little workout. Like an old man geriatric workout, not like the New World Wrestling or anything that they're doing. Do that and then do a little run. And then about by 6 o'clock, I write the history section. My dad spends about 6-7 hours a week at the library taking photos of documentation of old newspapers, et cetera. And that uploads to a Google photos that I have access to. So then I go through and write it. It takes about 45 minutes a day to actually take those images, put them down, 1924 or 14, et cetera. And then I go ahead and plug in like national news. As long as I can get that done by 7 a.m. and get ready for the school day, then I feel good. At lunch, I'll check the voicemail if there's any pressing issues. And then, of course, in the evening, circle back and actually attempt to write a story. This works pretty well. I edit my own work. That has some, every once in a while I make a really silly mistake. The other day it was, instead of saying Elf, the musical, I had Elk, the musical.
Mm.
Those are embarrassing calls, when people are calling you. It's not as bad. I think the worst correction I ever had was senior food panty instead of senior food pantry.
Oh.
That got a lot of calls too.
But, yeah, that's funny. Well,
could have been worse.
Don't feel so bad. Are you familiar with lorem ipsum, like just filler text?
Oh, yes.
So Home Depot is too, and it's been on their website, and I capture it every time that it is because it makes me feel better about myself as a creator and knowing even, the big dogs have problems too. So
that's awesome.
The panties, not a big deal.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so the archives. I wanted to talk to you about the Courier archives. So I was editor of the Courier in 2004, I guess. And I love that you're getting the students, like, bringing out, you know, the old newspapers and then putting them, digitizing them, so then, you know, they can still exist, you know, into tomorrow. So how's that being received by the younger folks? Are they into that or?
Really well. What I love about it, of course, there are no rights issues with the Courier, which is nice. We can republish those, et cetera, without any issues. But one of the challenges the Az-Times has always had is that the readership, I suspect, is older. We don't collect any demographic data, but it's just a news industry challenge. The Courier, I think, has really helped because, and we need to get more into like 2004. I have tomorrow's is 1995. But it's finally a way, I think, for younger people to look back just 20 years later and realize that, you know, there were some fun things there and to remember some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even just walking back into reading something from, you know, 1973 last year, you know, reading about my mom and her friends, like, you know, that is just so interesting, you know, to kind of picture them at that age, for one thing, but then reconnect with those people who you haven't talked to in a while and be like, oh my gosh, remember this? Which you are, you're connecting classes all across the nation and I'm sure across the world. So thank you so much for that. Last thing, what is one tip you have for a 34-year-old listening?
Just a general tip.
Following your dreams, doing, you know, pulling it all together, getting up at 4:30. Like, if you're that guy that's just like, oh, my life is over, I'm 34, like, I may as well check out. Like, what, you know, invigorates you and you're like, I mean, you're pulling together a newspaper. It was a print newspaper. It's taken on so many different forms. In addition to being a school teacher and a community connector and all of those things, I mean, you are really just pocketing it all and celebrating life. So what's your advice? Well, how do you do it?
That's good advice. The arc of, I know we say life is short, but you can overcome challenging situations and it does take time. This community has been so good. I mean, when the business crashed, I saw it coming, but I didn't have the guts to pull the plug because I kept thinking it's going to turn around. When it crashed, well, I was humiliated. I mean, it's just like one of those, and it gets emotional for me because I think, you know, people were owed money. I knew I was going to make a lot of tough phone calls. And I look back now, you know, 8.5 years past that, and the people in a small community who stand by you. And now, you know, I walk into Kroger, I walk anywhere, any meeting. I was at a scholarship luncheon on Saturday, and I look around the room, and almost everybody there had supported this thing and just had confidence in me that we were going to overcome that. And that just takes fortitude, like you said, because there are times you're just like, that, you know, this mistake is going to be difficult to overcome. I remember at that time, and I'll say this and let it go, but I had my old boss out in Nebraska offer me a job. She had moved on to South Dakota, and I flew out there and looked at it. And it was just like, this is right, because this thing has crashed and burned. I'm humiliated. Move on. And I just thought, no, we're going to stick this out. And 8.5 years later, it's just maybe a point of personal pride. But it does feel like right now as we move into the nonprofit, it feels like we're riding a wave. But it took a lot of days to get there that weren't always riding the wave.
Wow.
A lot of patience.
Wow. That is phenomenal. I did not know any about that. On your wave, and thank you so much for creating it. I have to tell you that it's absolutely changed my life, your publication. Nice. You know, the stories about my husband and his cat. When I was running for city council, my momentum came from people who read your article and just said, you know, yeah, Christy. And I'm like, who? Like, you remember me? So, wow, yes, absolutely, we're beside you. And always, you have, you know, you have a friend and somebody that gabs too. So thank you for that. That was amazing.
If I could say one more thing, people like you and your husband, Tyler, are people who make this community and have made this community. I think a lot of times we look at I could name names of the 60 and 70-year-olds who have done what you guys are doing now, but we see them on the other side of it after they've had this successful business. I mean, you starting this, Tyler's law work, you're just like Shelbyville treasures of people who put yourselves out there in the community. And but you're not 20 years past that moment. You're in that moment. And I know it's challenging probably, but you pulled off well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll end on that note. Be sure to follow us at InBusinessShelbyCounty.com and also at InBusinessShelbyCounty on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And obviously, if you're not already subscribed to the Addison Times, get subscribed. Thank you for listening to In Business Shelby County. We have reached over 600 listeners all across the world. I know that it's because of our excellent guests. So with that, I would love to provide you with a Where Are They Now? Season one guest, Michael Lovett of New Era Wrestling, I'm sure is pleased to find out that World Wrestling Entertainment has struck a deal with the Indianapolis Sports Corps starting in 2025. Be on the lookout for his entertainment